Good morning, everybody. Hey, as I was preparing the Easter sermon, there were three words that just kept bouncing through my head and they wouldn't leave. So I'm sitting there working on this sermon, three words just kept repeating themselves over and over and over again in my head. And you might think that the three words that were bouncing around my head were, "He is risen." That would have been a really good three words to be thinking about, because the fact of the matter is, the fact that he is risen indeed, is the reason we gather here on a day like today and celebrate that Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried, but on the third day came back from the dead, defeating death, canceling sin. I mean, "He is risen" would have been three really good words for me to be thinking about as I prepared this sermon. But those weren't the three words that were bouncing around my head. You might think the three words that were bouncing around my head were, "Jesus is Lord." Again, three really appropriate words to be thinking about. That because Jesus has risen and he has conquered sin and death, he is Lord of all, and that makes me his servant and I'm about his kingdom. Really great words to be thinking of in preparation for an Easter sermon, but those weren't the three words I was thinking of. No, as I was preparing this sermon, the three words that kept going over and over again in my head were, "Run, Forrest, run." I know, I wasn't expecting those three words either. And I was sitting there working at, "Run, Forrest, run." I thought, "Really, God? This is what I'm supposed to be paying attention to today? Run, Forrest, run." Obviously, reference to the movie Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump was encouraged by the love of his life, Jenna, and I just wanted to be able to say that in a sermon, Jenna. He was encouraged by Jenna to just run, Forrest, run. And throughout the movie, and if I'm ruining the movie for you, I don't feel bad, because that movie came out like 20 years ago, and you've had time to watch it. But he's told, "Run, Forrest, run." And so he does. And it serves him well. It delivers him from the bullies. As a result of the run, Forrest, run, he ends up getting a football scholarship to the University of Alabama, where he played for the legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant, became an All-American. Run, Forrest, run saved him in Vietnam and saved the lives of many of the people in his platoon, including Lieutenant Dan. And if you go toward the end of the movie, and again, if I'm ruining the movie for you, I don't even feel bad at this point, but at the end of the movie, when he's mourning the death of his mother, what does he do? Take a look.
Particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road, and when I got there, I thought maybe I'd run to the end of town.
President Carter, suffering from heat exhaustion, fell into the arms of...
When I got there, I thought maybe I'd just run across Greenbow County. And I figured since I run this far, maybe I'd just run across the great state of Alabama. And that's what I did. I ran clear across Alabama. No particular reason, I just kept on going. I ran clear of the ocean. And when I got there, I figured since I'd gone this far, I might as well turn around, just keep on going. When I got to another ocean, I figured since I'd gone this far, I might as well just turn back. Keep right on going. When I got tired, I slept. When I got hungry, I ate. When I had to go, you know, I went.
And so you just ran.
Yeah.
So you just ran. Yeah. He just kept going. If the part of the movie, run, Forrest, run, and that's what he does. He just keeps on going. He doesn't stop. He keeps on going. And if I had to describe the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, that's one way I would describe it. He just keeps on going. Run, Forrest, run. Jesus keeps on going. And throughout his ministry, there are times that people would obviously think it's time for Jesus to stop. He's gone far enough. This part of the story is ended. And Jesus doesn't stop. He just keeps going. Run, Forrest, run. There's this moment Jesus is teaching. He's on a hillside. There's about 5,000 people that are there, and they're listening to Jesus teach. And there comes a point where his disciples come up to Jesus and go, Jesus, this is going great. I mean, way better turnout than we thought. I don't know if you've noticed, if you've checked your sundial lately, but it's getting late, and these people need to go home. Great job today. Great job, Jesus, but it's time to, you know, end this so people can go home and get something to eat. Everybody else thinks it's done, except for Jesus. Jesus goes, well, why don't you guys feed them? We can't feed them. Oh, yes, we can. And he takes a kid's Happy Meal, essentially, and he multiplies it, and 5,000 people are fed. Everybody thought that the day was done except for Jesus. He goes, no, I'm just getting started. There's another moment where Jesus is walking towards a town, and as he's getting close, it's noon, he's hot, he's thirsty, and so he goes towards the center of town where there's a well. And as he gets close to the well, he notices there's a woman at the well. Here's the thing about the woman at that well. People did not go get their water from that well in the middle of the day. It was hot. You get the water at the beginning of the day. You get the water at the end of the day. But there was a woman at the well for a very specific reason. That woman didn't want to deal with the other women. And the other women didn't want to deal with her. Because that woman had some sin issues. And so she went at the middle of the day so she wouldn't have to interact with other people. Now, if anybody had been with Jesus, as Jesus is making his way closer and closer to that well, they said, whoa. No, Jesus, we need to pause. You do not want to go and be with that woman. Wait until she's done, then go get something to drink. Culturally speaking, it would have been inappropriate for Jesus, a person of his stature, to go hang out with that woman in that place just one-on-one. Everybody would have said, okay, scene done, or at least paused. Not Jesus. He keeps going. He just keeps going. And he goes all the way to the well, and he enters into a conversation with that woman, and that conversation transformed that woman's life. Run, Forrest, run. He just kept going. There's another moment. They've had a long day of ministry, and the disciples just say, hey, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. And so they get into a boat and begin going to the other side of the lake. Jesus, though, says, I need some downtime, and he goes and spends some time praying. Well, he's done praying, and he comes down. At this point, the boat is way out in the lake. There's wind, there's waves. If someone would have been with Jesus, they would have said, Jesus, hold on, stop. They're out there. You're going to have to wait until the boat comes back, or you're going to have to go around to the other side. Run, Forrest, run. Jesus just keeps going. Literally, he goes out on the lake. He walks out on the lake above the wind and the waves. He goes out to him. He just keeps going. There's another moment where Jesus gets word that one of his dear friends, a man by the name of Lazarus, is really sick. They say, you got to come quickly, Lord, come quickly. But by the time Jesus got to the town where Lazarus was from, Lazarus' sister meets him. Says, you're too late. Lazarus is dead. Obviously, it's the end of that story, except it isn't. Jesus keeps going. He doesn't stop when everybody else assumes it's time to stop. Jesus keeps going. He goes all the way up to the tomb. Lazarus has already been in there for a couple of days. He says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus does. Lazarus is raised from the dead. And now we talk about Easter. Easter is the ultimate run, Forrest, run moment. If you would have been there on the previous Friday, the Friday that we call Good Friday, you would have witnessed as Jesus was arrested, tried, and convicted, and sentenced to death. You'd have seen as the Roman soldiers beat him and beat him and beat that the beating that would take place prior to a crucifixion often would take the life of the person. It was so savage. Then they make Jesus carry his own cross. A cross that a few moments later, they would hammer his arms and his legs into, and he would be put up on a cross and publicly executed in a way that is as brutal as any way humankind has come up with. Anyone, everyone that was there that day would have concluded the same thing. It's over. This mission, this ministry, this movement of Jesus is over. Good while it lasted. We were excited, but all our hopes, all our dreams died when that guy died. This story is done. Except it wasn't, because we're talking about Jesus. And time again, when everybody else thinks it's over, Jesus keeps going. And Jesus on the cross takes on not just some of the sin, because Jesus doesn't stop with just the people that were close to him. No. Jesus included not just their sin. He included the sin of all the people that had been cursing him, all the people that had been spitting on him, all the people that had been beating him, all the people that had been nailing him to a cross, even forgiving the person that stuck a spear into his side. He forgave all of them too. He took on all their sin. And not just them, but everybody else in Jerusalem that day. But Jesus doesn't even stop there. He takes on all the sin. And we're talking about someone who was without sin, took on sin, became sin for us. He takes on the sin of everybody that was there that day, as well as all the sin of the people that preceded him and all the sin of the people that would come after him, which includes you and includes me. And Jesus takes all of it on. He doesn't take some of the sin. Jesus is one that just keeps on going, and he takes on more and more until he takes on all the sin of all humanity of all time. And when Jesus took on all of that and then raised his head up and said, "It is finished," and he crumpled and died, the Apostles' Creed says it this way: he was crucified, dead, and buried. He took it all on. And it wasn't just that he took on all the sin. He also physically died, but even physical death couldn't stop him. He just kept on going because on the third day, he rose from the dead. Jesus is the ultimate Forrest Gump here. He just keeps going. And just when you think his love is going to stop, it continues. "For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He is the one that just keeps on going. There's a song that we sing from time to time in this church called "What a Beautiful Name." And I love the lyrics. "Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever our God reigns. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names." Forrest Gump runs because that's what Forrest Gump does. Jesus Christ loves because that's what Jesus Christ does. And he just keeps on loving. Jesus' love for you and Jesus' love for me cannot be stopped by the grave. It cannot be stopped by the enormity of our sin. "For I am convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." His love for you and his love for me just keeps on going. Because Jesus loves me, he cares for my physical reality, just like he cared for 5,000 hungry people on a hillside. Jesus' love for me and love for you is not stopped by our moral failure. Just like Jesus' love for the woman at the well did not stop at the edge of town, but went all the way to her. Jesus' love for me and his love for you is not stopped or hindered by the chaos of our lives, just like the wind and the waves did not hinder Jesus going all the way out to his disciples. Not even death can stop his love for you, just like death could not stop his love for Lazarus. The cross is the ultimate run, Forrest, run moment. It just keeps on going. His love just keeps on going. So now we have to ask the question, how then are we to respond to this love that just keeps on going? Well, I can think of three words. Run, Forrest, run. We are to run to him who has shown great love for us. We are to run to him who has run to us. If you read the 20th chapter of John, you hear John's account of that very first Easter. And it says that when Mary Magdalene discovered that the tomb was empty, she went back to the disciples. She told the disciples the tomb was empty. And what did Peter and John do? They ran to the tomb. They ran to the tomb. They ran to the one who had run to them. They run to the one who has shown great love. I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, suffered its shame, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. We are to run to him who has shown great love. One of the most famous parables Jesus ever told was the parable of the prodigal son. If you're familiar with the story, you know that Jesus is talking about the character and nature of God as part of this parable. And this parable talks about a father who's very much like God, and he has two sons. The youngest son is a little frustrated because his dad isn't dying fast enough. And so he goes to his dad and says, I want my share of the inheritance now. The father gives it to him. The boy goes off, squanders it all, wastes it all, to the point that he is just poor. And then a famine hits the land. He ends up getting hired to feed pigs. And for a little Jewish boy, it don't get much worse than that. And while he's feeding the pigs, he's realizing, wait a second, I'm so hungry. I'm starving. I'm so hungry that what I'm giving the pigs looks really good to me right now. And suddenly comes to his senses and he says, wait a second. My father's servants are better fed than this. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna beg forgiveness, and maybe, just maybe, he'll take me on as a servant. And so he starts for home. And Jesus tells the story this way, says, and yet while the boy was still a long way off, the father sees the boy. And the father runs to this wayward son. God runs to us. We are his wayward sons. And it doesn't matter what we've done or not done. We all fall short and are in great need for a redeeming love. And that redeeming love doesn't wait for us to get our act together. It runs to us long before we ever start to run to him. But will we have the courage and the humility to run to him who has shown great love? If someone were to ask you to describe Easter in three words, what three words would you use? If someone asked me, I could describe Easter by saying, he is risen because he is, and it changes everything. I could also say, Jesus is Lord because he is, and that changes everything. But this Easter, Someone asked me to describe what Easter is all about in three words. I'm just going to say, run, Forrest, run. Because my God has shown me great love, a love that just keeps on going. And my response to that love is to run to him who has shown great love to me and have the courage and humility to allow that love to fully embrace me and change me forever. How are you going to describe Easter this year? Would you pray with me, please? Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever, and for that we give you thanks. We thank you for a love that keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. We thank you for that love. We thank you for a love that went to a cross but was not stopped by a cross. We thank you for a love that took the sin and shame and overcame it. God, we thank you that you're a God that loves and you just keep on loving. Help us to respond by running to you who has shown great love to us. Amen.